Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
It's another beautiful day in the world. Life is abounding with the thrill of spring. Another spring, another year, part of the unbroken miracle of life on Earth. In a moment, we're going back 65 million years to the time of the dinosaurs and let you touch the ancients when we return here on the Wildside News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Now, somewhere in the black mining hills of Dakota, there lived a young Tyrannosaurus Rex known as Y-Rex. Well, that was about 65 million years ago, and it still lives there, only locked inside solid rock in the remote canyon where it died, known as Hell Canyon. Not many T-Rex had been discovered. The most notable recent find was of Sue the T-Rex, which now is on display at the Field Museum in Chicago, a place I used to go to all the time as a kid. But there is a great dig going on right now, and a lot of people are involved, not just those at the site, which is not revealed because they want to kind of keep people from knowing exactly where this is, but because people from all over the globe visit the site each day. And some of them may be calling in today to talk to Peter Larson, our guest. If you'd like to call in now, call our toll-free number, 888-327-0061. I'll try to give as many callers as possible a chance to ask Peter about this experience. Peter, welcome to the Wildside News.
It's great to be here, Sydney.
I'm so thrilled that we can be part of this and help the world learn about what you're doing. I'd like to ask my guests, first of all, sort of what's the weather like, just to give a sense of what things are like around the planet here. So what's your weather like? And that actually factors into our today's show.
Well, you name a weather, and we've got it here. We had, I think, up to about 79 degrees. We had two mornings, it was about 16 degrees. We had snow. A couple times we've had rain, and we've had lots of wind. So you name a weather type, and we've got it right here.
Well, that definitely affects what you're doing because you're involved in a most amazing event. Peter, give our listeners an idea of what in the world you're doing out there.
Well, we're of course digging up this wonderful T-Rex skeleton, but in addition to that, for the first time actually ever, we're broadcasting it nearly live on the web, and it's a pretty cool thing because we're getting all these this interaction with all these people who love dinosaurs and people who are just learning about dinosaurs and little 4-year-old and 5-year-old kids and just a whole host of people, scientists you name it, they're writing in, and it's just really, really fun.
You know, on the Wildside News website for today's show, I always encourage my listeners to go to that page because we do have images and links. If people go there and they start touching some of the images, they can go to your website, which is called unearthingtrex.com. I'm going to spell that, unearthingtrex.com. And you know what? I'm addicted to this site. You guys have done an amazing job, and I want to thank you and take my hats off because what you're doing is bringing something that is really, a real life adventure. This is happening. Tell me, how in the world did this event come about? In other words, somehow a T-Rex was discovered. You also worked on the unearthing of Sue, the legendary Sue. So this is your business. Tell us a little bit about your company, but also how it is that you're came to be working now on Y-Rex.
Just sort of a little bit on the website first. Larry Schaefer, who's kind of our computer guru there in Hill City, came up with the idea of putting this up on the web, and I liked it immediately because, of course, part of our job is helping to show people what dinosaurs are all about. And this guy's a magician. He's done just marvelous things pretty much single-handedly until the point getting out here. And then we have Kristen Donnan, who is the writer that puts most of the material up on screen, and Dan Counter, who does video. We have my brother Neil and a number of other people, Ray Colby, Chris Ott, and a number of other people who have put photos up on the web, and my daughter, who's adding a lot of the audio for this and doing interviews and things like that. So we've got just, you know, kind of every, all this whole group.
I just want to say, by the way, that this is one of the most impressive events I've seen online. I encourage everybody to go there. You're going to become addicted because the images, the photographs are absolutely superb, and you're documenting this unearthing in a way that I've never seen, and it's so exciting to be part of this because it started with, you know, bare earth, and now we start to see the forms emerging. And my hat's off to the people who've been involved in this.
Yeah, I think they've been doing really a fantastic job, and I can't thank them enough. We have a business called Black Hills Institute of Geological Research, which is basically does work for museums all over the world. We get them specimens for exhibits, specimens for research, whether it's either finding them or other people are collecting them, or actually finding them ourselves and going out and doing the work of actually digging them. Wyrex was found by the rancher, Don. We won't give his last name yet, but soon on in the web we will after we're nearing the end of the dig. And another amateur collector, Dan Wells. These two guys were out kicking around, as they say, and looking at bones, and happened to pop up a toe bone, which they brought back to the institute, and we identified it, and they did a little bit of preliminary digging, and when I saw the site, I just couldn't believe it. I mean, this is just really, really a nice dinosaur. The institute itself has been in business since 1974, and we've done, in fact, this is the eighth T-Rex we've dug. Our first was Sue back in 1990, followed in 92 by Stan, and various other Rexes up until the point we are here today. So we've had all the result of amateurs and ranchers who have let us know that there's something on their property and invited us on to dig.
Now, you actually started the dig and this online event, I think, May 10th, and I can recall when I first tuned in, which wasn't too long after that, that you were hoping to have this done in 2 weeks. Give us an update, because this is part of the story. It is a real-life adventure, and the weather and other things are affecting what's going on. It's a great story.
Yeah, the weather, of course, has slowed us down. Whenever it rains, we can't work while it's raining, and we have to wait for things to dry out. We're still having a bit of a drying period right now. We had a fairly decent rain here night before last, which these folks here needed so badly. They've been in the throes of a drought for a number of years here in eastern Montana and also at home in western South Dakota. So we welcome the rain. That also washes out new fossils too, so we welcome it. But it's when you have a dig going on, it's a little bit of a problem because you have to make sure that things stay dry and you can keep the fossil protected during this time, so that slows you down. But it's okay, you know, it's been waiting 65 million years. If it takes a few more days, it takes an extra week, that's fine.
It's all kind of relative, isn't it?
That's right.
Well, one of the things I'm finding interesting is the way in which, you know, you really are sharing your thoughts and your process on this website, and you've had some interesting little turns. You're certainly interpreting the bones and where you're finding them and realizing that this isn't just a T-Rex just laying there. Actually, there's some real... you're interpreting what happened to this animal by the way in which the bones are exposed. Why don't you talk a little bit about that? That seems kind of interesting.
Well, there's one of the important things that is very not just necessary but extremely helpful is to try to gather as much information as we're doing this as possible. Some of that information you can only gather as you're doing the dig. You can't wait till later. And that one of those is to map the bones, to try to figure out the taphonomy or the series of events that led to the preservation of this particular specimen. So we can kind of unravel a little bit. We're getting a window into the past, and we can see hopefully what happened that allowed us to be able to have this fossil still preserved today. And so mapping, recording information in terms of plants that are found with it. There's an interesting number of turtles. Now we're now up to 11 turtles pond turtles buried with the dinosaur that will be very helpful to us in understanding, you know, just basically what happened to this animal.
There was a really great story that I'm not going to tell people exactly how it emerges, because that's part of the wonder. I encourage people to go to the web, start with page one. The text is short enough so that you can process it. We're not overburdened with details. But the photographs, and you also have some videos, tell this story day by day. It's absolutely amazing. It competes with anything that I'd ever see on TV. But there is a great little moment where, well, I'll keep it a secret, but there was someone got pretty excited about something, and well, the truth,
that would be me.
That would be you. I love that on the site.
What you're seeing here is exactly the emotions that go through people's minds as they're doing things, and you see the humanness of all of us. I guess I'm particularly human because I'm not afraid to say what I think something is, and then we have surprises.
Well, you know, I'm sure a lot of people out there have a romantic vision of the paleontologist out in the field working with their little brushes and scalpels and shovels. It's quite a reality check to see what you guys are dealing with. It's almost entertaining. One of the things I am intrigued with because of the photographs is what's happening to all of your hands. This is really a labor of love. It's tough out there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of hard on your body here and there, the weather changes and that harsh wind, and we're working with plaster of Paris, and it takes its toll. You get blisters and they break, and you get tears in your hand and they start bleeding, and all of these other things that go on when you're actually, you know, really working hard and trying to dig around the bones and trying to get this fossil expeditiously removed from the ground, because of course the longer it's exposed to the elements. Now once we've made it unsafe for the fossil as we're uncovering it, so we want to get it out of the ground as soon as possible, back in the lab where we have absolute climate control and all of that.
I think one of the things that is really presented well on the website is the way in which you document virtually everything. And you, for example, I think actually you came up with this mapping grid system for photographing things. So you are doing a very detailed scientific excavation here.
Yeah, as I mentioned, it's very important to keep track of all of the scientific information. And you have one chance to do it, and as you're digging the bones up. And not only doing the photographic record, but we're also doing a physical map, which I think should be posted. If it's not posted now, it'll be posted by tomorrow. So you can see just a hand-drawn map that then goes into computer, and it's processed. And so this helps us, in fact, right here in the field, look for we're missing a few things and we want to find them. Where is the best place to look? Do we need to move that hill, or does it seem like they're already washed away? You know, so we have to make those decisions based upon this map. And if, as we're taking the bones off, you no longer have that visual sense of what's going on, you need to refer back to the map and say, oh yeah, this is where they should be.
One of the things I enjoy watching is the process of the, you've titled this properly, unearthing, that you start with rock, and it is rock, isn't it?
I mean, it's rock. In fact, there's some very, very hard rock we call concretions that are right in with the bones, and in the areas where the bones don't seem to be, we're actually having to use a jackhammer to get through that rock and then very carefully watch to make sure that we're not, breaking through bones or something like this. But it's the only way to really move that rock, because you'd be sitting there with a hammer and chisel for years, literally, if you tried
right.
to do it that way. But you also have to be careful. You know, you can't get too close to the specimen, because it can very easily damage the specimen.
It's just absolutely fascinating to watch the bones emerge from the rock. It's like a sculpture in reverse. It's like you're sculpting this reality. And that process all by itself, to me, I do a lot of art, and I'm a very, very visual person. I love science and things like that. This is one of the most interesting experiences I've had. And of course, the thing that I want to encourage all of the people out here who listen to the Wild Side News to do, and that is to visit this website, unearthingtrex.com, because you will become absolutely fascinated by what's going on. You know, we have a caller. I'm sorry. I'm learning this point. We don't have a caller.
Okay.
That's, we'll keep talking. That's great. Unearthing T-Rex, because, as I say, I get up in the morning, and quite honestly, one of the first things I do is go to the website and see what's happening. By the way, you can get to the website through the Wildside News, which has a link right there. Well, let's talk a little bit about T-Rex. We've got about a minute and a half. I wanted to really emphasize this event, but let's get into T-Rex, because you're one of the world's leading experts on T-Rex. Why is T-Rex so amazing?
Well, I think it's one of the fascinations with it is it's a monster, and it's a monster, a real monster that once lived. But the real kicker is it once lived. It's a safe monster. We can study it. We don't, you know, there's nothing to fear from it. Just to learn from this biggest of all terrestrial predators what its world was like, and it's fascinating too, because you know, it's the king of the dinosaurs, and the dinosaurs are now all extinct.
Now, how big is a T-Rex?
An adult T-Rex is about 40 feet long, 12 foot at the hips, could easily look in a second story window. They're big animals, 5 foot long skull. And you know, 7 inches of tooth sticking out of that skull.
What have you been able to learn? Because you've unearthed, I think there's about, 30 T-Rex that have been uncovered, effectively uncovered around the planet at this point, and you've been involved in, I think, 8.
Yep.
What are you learning about the T-Rex?
We're learning not just about the bones, but about behavior and about the soft tissue anatomy, which is kind of fascinating for me. Things that you would never expect. We're learning about, you know, who we can tell whether there's a boy, it's a boy or girl. We can tell just a number of things about how they hunted together. We have trackways that show us that they're actually hunters that hunted together, and a number of other very, very fun things.
Well, Peter, our time is up. You've been an excellent guest. This is Peter Larson we've been talking to. He's at unearthingtrex.com. I invite you all to go there and become part of this historic event. And you've heard about it on the Wild Side News.